Father Time has an excuse to go sit down. He's had cancer, he's had strokes, he's blind. And when I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, I've got three real good excuses. And I could sit down anytime and somebody would take care of me. But I said, you know something? I don't want to be taken care of. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing something that I like and I love. I'm able to help people out. And it just motivates me. I just keep on moving.
And I'm all for women empowerment. A lot of people feel that a lot of sports is just like a man dominant industry, but I mean, sometimes the women are just as good, if not better, than some of the men in their own sports.
Pro wrestling is the greatest thing to ever happen to entertainment, in my honest opinion. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to be able to do what I get to see my idols do on TV.
Pure Pro Wrestling is a family-friendly organization here in the state of Michigan that has opened its doors to just about anybody who wants to be a professional wrestler. I recently caught up with three of their performers, and they share their stories here on episode 15 of A Duff Said, and that starts now. Joining me now on the phone is a man who has been called the oldest rookie in professional wrestling. He's also been referred to as Flint's Miracle Man. There is no time like Father Time. And Father Time, thank you so much for making the time here on this edition of A Duff Said.
No problem. Tick-tock. Oh, let me correct that now.
Okay.
I had a chance to meet Chris Jericho, and he told me that I was the oldest starting professional wrestler. And I believe that might be in the record books now.
What is it like to have that kind of record attached to your name?
You know, I really hadn't thought too much about it. I really hadn't, but it makes you feel kind of good knowing that I am the only one that I am the original. So it makes you feel kind of good, you know?
You are often imitated, never duplicated.
Never duplicated. Once time passes, you can't go back, nor can you duplicate it.
Now, not only are you one of the oldest professional wrestlers out there right now, but you are also a blind man that is a professional wrestler. How do you make that work?
Well, I tell you what you have to do. You have to come in the ring and see it, and then you see how I make it work.
Of course.
It's just something, I guess it's like second nature to me now. When you learn to adapt with whatever you got, and that's something I've done. They made a few adjustments for me when I first started, get a chance to learn the ring and everything. But once you get to doing something, it comes natural. And that's what's happened now. The last 6 years, 7 years that I've been in the ring, I've just improved each and every time. And the guys that work with me and I work, they realize it. So they know when they get in the ring with Father Time that they're going to have a fight of their life.
Now, they know they're in for the fight of their life. They know what they're up against. But what are some of the reactions that you get from your fans who follow you? I'm sure you get a lot of people who, like myself, are fascinated by the fact that you're able to do this, despite the fact that you are visually impaired. You know, what are those conversations with people like when they come up to tell you they're impressed by what you do?
You know, because to me it's normal, but then I have to think about, you know, what people look at me. It's really been humbling to me over the years. It really has, because, you know, when it's you that's doing something, it doesn't seem that special. But when you start talking to people and you see how you impact their lives, and all of a sudden it changes things. And I've had quite a few people over the years that came and told me how I've inspired them because of my story and things that I've done. So it's really humbling. And one good thing, I've had a bout with cancer. Prostate cancer. And because of the fans, I've been through a lot through my life. And because of the fans, I was getting ready to say, I'm just going to just pack it up and move on and stop. But I was really encouraged by my fans that here I was inspiring them, and all of a sudden they're inspiring me. And I owe a lot of to my family, my friends, and especially the fans, that they really encouraged me to keep on going.
Now, you've battled cancer on a couple of occasions, and first off, how are you feeling, and what's the current prognosis?
I'm feeling great. Everything's good. I had cancer surgery in September. All my blood work's coming back, but no signs of anything. I'm on top of the mountain right now.
That is awesome. I am so thrilled to hear that you are doing much better, because that's a scary time, and you've had to deal with that twice. Was there ever a part of you that was thinking, what's my future going to be like, both in and out of the ring, when you got that word?
Of course I was thinking that. You know, it's when you get that word, it scares you, it really does. It makes you start to think about a lot of things, especially the second time that you hear it. And it caused me to really think. Like I said, I've had this, the blindness and the strokes. And so I was at a point in time where I'm thinking, you know, do I really want to struggle with this anymore? Do I really want to fight this anymore? I wasn't sure. And it was a time where I had to process a lot of information and just to, you know, get that determination up against, like I said, the fans and my family really helped support me. And I said, hey, I'm going to kick cancer in the behind again if I have to, and I'm going to keep it moving. That's what Father Time does. He finds a problem and he takes care of it.
I love it, and I'm glad that you have taken care of this problem too. But you've touched on it a few times. The fans and the support of your family is what kept you going. For people who have never been in the ring and gotten that adulation that you get from the fans, the support and the cheers and the pops that you get from them, what is that like?
You know, it's one of those indescribable things that you can't really put it into words. Just imagine, you know, you've gotten three letters and all those letters have been bad. You know, you come home one day and, you know, you had a problem at work. You walk in the door and your dog barks at you. You go into your living room and the fish, they turn around and swim away from you, you know? But then all of a sudden, somebody says something to you. It's not much. And it's just the reaction that they have when they see you. And it's the smile on their face. And when I hear those fans chanting, you know, they the best is this, the fans started to tick tack when I first walked out of there. That's what they said. I walked out of there. They started saying TikTok. They started yelling Father Time. I heard them say, we love you, Father Time. And I don't know, something happened on the inside of me. It really did. Where I'm thinking, you know, these people, you know, they look at me. You know, I encourage them. You know, and all of a sudden I'm realizing that, you know, this is a lot of love that I'm feeling from these fans, and my family, and most of all, God. And I tell you something, when things like that start happening, no matter how bad it seems in your life, no matter how tough it is, when you feel that from your fans and your family, I don't know, something clicks on the inside and it makes you say, I can go on and do this. I got something to live for. I got something that I can keep right on doing. I'm appreciated by it. And it sets you apart. And that's why I say, I don't know how to describe that feeling. But it's something that really overtakes you. And most of all, it humbles you. And that's the thing, because you don't really know how you affect people in your life. You don't really know the impact that you have. It's kind of like reading a story about somebody 20 or 30 years after they pass. And you say, God, I didn't know that this person did all this. And while you walk this earth, you never realize that you're with you. Things that you say, stories that they hear because of you, you have no idea the impact that you have on their lives. But the one good thing about it, every once in a while I can see it, and that makes me feel good. It lets me know all this that I've been through is worth it.
It's not just the fans who have your back. It's also the company you wrestle for. I want to talk about that organization right now. It is called Pure Pro Wrestling. Now, in the past, they've held benefits for people who are battling cancer and people such as yourself who are blind. they've given opportunities to you and so many other people who have disabilities a chance to compete in the ring and not be defined by that disability. They want you to be defined by the character you are in the ring. What does that say about the organization?
That, to me, that impresses me. Because we have an open door policy with anybody. We have what they call the junior grapplers. And we have kids in it that has autism, ADHD, ADD, all types of physical and somewhat mental problems. But yet, when you see them in the ring, we don't look at disabilities. We just look at your talent. And if you don't have any, we'll find some. And when you see these kids in the ring, you see the things that they're doing, you'd be like, who? Not this child. Not this person. No way. We've had kids that would not talk, and now we can't even get them to shut up. They've got that encouragement. They've got self-esteem in themselves. Not only do we build, build a wrestler, we're actually building people. We're building a person. When they step in that ring, they know that it's a privilege, and they've got something special that not everybody can't do. And when they see they're doing this, when they're in school, they're being put down, they're being bullied, they're being talked about. But now all of a sudden, they get into this ring and they're somebody now. And they know that they are different than anybody else, not because of the disability, but because of what they're doing.
It is awesome to see what you guys have done with the Junior Grappler Program. When I got a chance to meet you and some of the other wrestlers backstage a few weeks back, I got a chance to meet some of those junior grapplers as well, and it was so cool to see the smiles on those kids' faces. You guys have definitely had a tremendous impact on those kids' lives. Now, for people who may not be familiar with Pure Pro Wrestling, what do people need to know about it?
It's a great organization to work with. We've got a real great owner, Joseph Bird. He's also a promoter and also the owner of Pure Pro Wrestling. They really want to see a great show. He puts on a great show. He really does. Anybody wants to see a real family-oriented show, check us out, Pure Pro Wrestling. And you will see things. You will see people. I will say that it might be because I'm somewhat biased because I work for the company. But we've had a lot of pro wrestlers from other independent companies and also from the WWE, from NXT, that has come also from ROH, that has been to our facility and worked with us. And they said this is one of the most professional companies that they've been with. So that says a lot. Joseph Bird, he was up in India for 6 months. He was a trainer for the Great Khali. And also Cody is another one of the wrestlers there. He helps the dudes work a back room. He also agents the matches. So he was also spent 6 months over with Khali and training at his school over in India. I would compare us to any wrestling company in the United States, and I think we can hold our own with the best.
We're talking with Father Time of PPW. Father Time, when did you first take up an interest in pro wrestling?
When I was a little kid, like everybody else, sitting there watching the 9-inch screen, watching black and white, watching Bobo Brazil, The Sheik, Flying Fred Curry, all those old-timers. And I said to myself, Dick the Bruiser. I had a chance to meet quite a few of these guys, too. And it just got into me. It's something I just said I wanted to do, and I had the opportunity. When I was in my 20s, I used to be a power lifter, and I met the Georgia State champion here in Flint at the IMA, and I talked to him about getting involved with it. He told me a few things. I gave him my phone number, and this was the time I was in the hospital. They thought I had cancer then. And they had tubes and everything in me. And, they called for me to try to come up for a trial, but I couldn't make it then. And I just kept on going. I got out the hospital. I made some more contacts. And it seemed like every time it came for me to either try out, that something would go on. I've had multiple car accidents that weren't my fault. I met Luke Klein in Detroit. He had a school down there. I was supposed to go down there, and sickness came again. And I just kind of forgot about it for a while. I said, maybe it's just not in the plan for me. And matter of fact, when I got in my 40s, I'd met somebody, Lou Thatcher, at a school in Cincinnati. I was supposed to go down there, and somebody really ended us. And then I found out that, well, my vision, that was something else too that happened. My vision, I had a couple of strokes, had three strokes, and that set me back. And then I had this tumorous cancer in my arm. They had to remove that. And the last time after that, I just kind of said, I'm not even going to try it anymore. And I was out at the Jersey County Fair, and we were watching Pure Pro Wrestling. And I said, I don't know, the blood started bubbling again. And I said, I guess I'm going to try it one more time. And that's where I met Joseph Bird. And he gave me a card. He kind of blew me off. It was kind of funny. So about a week later, I called him. And I had him come out. My son brought me out to the house. My son's built pretty good. So he knocks on Joe's door, and he looks at him and says, oh, yeah, this is good. He said, you're Leo? My son said, oh, no. He said, that's my dad. And so I popped up out the car, all his gray hair, and I could see the look on his face. He was like, oh, my God. So he had me come in, and we started training, you know, working out and things, and I was keeping up with him because I'm always in pretty good shape. Like I said, powerlifting. Before the cancer surgery, I was still deadlifting over 500 pounds. And so anyway, we got to working out in the ring, and he said, "Well," I told him that I told him about the strokes. And he said, "You sure your doctor knows that you're doing this?" I said, "Yeah." I told him about the cancer. And then I told him about the blindness, and he was like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. But he kept working with me. And I had my first match here in Flint. I won that match. I had a couple more. Then I went for the TV championship, and I won that one. And it just kept snowballing. Matter of fact, my only thought was to – I only won one match, even if I just ran in the ring – and ran out the other side. I had no idea that it would keep on going for as long as it has.
What do you remember about that first match when you first stepped through the ropes to compete for the first time? What was it like?
I was scared to death. If I had a barf bag, I could have used it. it was frightening. I was scared to death. I didn't know how people were going to react. Because I wanted to wear a mask, you know. My body was in really good shape. It didn't look like an older man's body, and it still don't. And so I wanted to wear a mask, you know. I'm thinking, people are going to laugh at me. Well, I got out there, and when I first started, I had a walker I would come out on, and my robe looked like a bathrobe with a lot of time on the back. And so when I came out there, you know, people were looking, and they were kind of shocked. I had the referee help me in the ring. And the guy that I was working with that night, he said, who's this? I'm not going to do nothing with this old man in this ring. And I told him, I said, come on, you scared sucker, you know? He walked over to me, and he didn't want to wrestle me. He said, no, I'm not doing it. I've even hurt this man, you know, this old man. But he walked up to me, and I slapped him. And he turned around, and he hit me, and I hit the mat. And people was like, oh, my God. It got so quiet in there that it scared me. And then he started working me over, and I didn't hear anything. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I got my wits back together and everything, and I started coming back, and I started working up, started working, and And I could hear, I heard things in the background, but I was focused on what I was doing. And I picked him up and body slammed him and threw him around a little bit. And then when I kind of got my, you know, my focus was not on that. I heard screams and hollering and stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? I didn't know what was happening. So I pinned him and I looked up and everybody was on their feet. They were standing around the ring and yelling and screaming for all the time. And I'm like, what just happened? And I got out the ring and said, you did. Joe was telling me you did good. Cody said I did good. I'm thinking, well, why are these people yelling and screaming like this? I thought they were screaming for the other guy. I had no idea. But that's what I really remember about it.
What was it like at that moment to know that not only had you won the crowd over, but you'd suddenly earned the respect of the locker room, too?
Well, you know, that there was something that I was more excited that I had did something I wanted to do in my life. And that really didn't occur to me. And you said locker room, and I did a show with Ring of Honor about 3 years ago. And they call it dart matches. We come out there and warm them up. And his name was Martini. He got me the spot. And when I went down there, you know, everybody looking at me. This guy, his name is Hunter. He's one of the promoters for Ring of Honor. I don't know at the time what was going on, but they wanted to scratch my match. And Truth Martini kept talking him into it. So he wanted somebody to go out there and speak for me. And Truth Martini said, no, he can speak for himself. And I'm looking at Truth like, man, this is Ring of Honor. It's like the second, third largest wrestling company in the United States. And so I went out there. And this is what really surprised me, too, when I walked out. There were people that knew I was going to be on the show that night. They showed up. They had signs and everything with Father Time on it. So I got out there and, you know, I'm focused on what I'm doing. I did my little thing and told him about me. And we started the match, and the match went really well. But what happened was when I finished the match, I walked back in the locker room. I had no idea because of my vision, and I heard applause back there. And Truth said, they'll give me a standing ovation. I said, who? He said, the locker room. These were guys that I watched on television. These are guys that I just, you know. And here they were, standing up for me. I'll admit I got really emotional. I really did. I feel the same thing now. You know, and there it is again. The only thing I can say is it's humbling, you know, to see your peers that they give you that respect. You know, they shook my hand, they patted my back, I made some good friends. And it's just something that really stays with you for the rest of your life. But it was absolutely amazing. It really was. It truly was.
When people are watching the shows like Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, or they're watching the pay-per-views and they see a guy win a championship in the main event, you know, that's for the show. But when you get what you got in the locker room, that had to be even bigger than any championship belt.
It took me, it really didn't hit me till later on, you know. And matter of fact, I was, I can say this because it's in an article. I was the first person that was ever paid for a dark match.
Do you still have the dollar bills and checks from that?
It's probably somewhere around here. But I've got signs and streamers and stuff that the people bought for me. But it's just one of those things, you know. It's just wow. The only thing I can say is wow.
Just wow. How did you come up with the character Father Time?
That was Joe and Cody. I didn't know what they were going to call me. And when they said Father Time, I'm like, who? It's the Father Time. He's endless. He's ageless. He was here and he always will be. He looks for problems to solve. He wakes up in the morning and says, hey, let me see what I can get taken care of today. And he said, that's what took. And so that was the name, and it seemed to fit. And that's who I've been. That's why it's like I tell you, there ain't no time like Father Time, and it's a crime to fool with Father Time.
Not only have you proven that to the opponents you faced in the ring, but you've proven that in life. As we touched on it a few times already, you've overcome being blind, you've overcome strokes, and you have successfully defeated cancer. No one or one thing has ever been able to hold Father Time down for the 1-2-3. So what does that say about Father Time?
Man, I'm crazy. Sometimes I think of myself, I must be absolutely nuts to keep doing this stuff. It really does. But I don't know. It's just something I do. I don't think about it. And I'll tell you what, there are days when I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to do this. There are days when some days are hard. You know, just getting up some mornings and your vision and just trying to do things, it's hard. But something clicks on, and like I said, I have a great love for the Lord, and He keeps me, and I know that He's the one that's allowing me to do these things. But it is, even with all my faith and everything else, it gets hard. But if I sit down long enough and think, all of a sudden I say, shoot, I can't sit here, I gotta move, I gotta do something. And I enjoy it. Some lady in one of the articles, she said that Father Time has an excuse to go sit down. He's had cancer. He's had strokes. He's blind. And when I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, I've got three real good excuses. And I could sit down any time and somebody would take care of me. But I said, you know something? I don't want to be taken care of. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing something that I like and I love. I'm able to help people out, and it just motivates me. I just keep on moving.
He is Father Time of Pure Pro Wrestling. If you'd like to know more about Father Time and some of his upcoming bouts, you can check that out at pureprowrestling.net. Father Time, it was so awesome to have you come in and listen to your story. Thanks so much for sharing it.
And I'm going to tell you, there's three things that you don't do. You don't spit in the wind. You don't tug on Superman's cape, and you don't mess around with Father Time.
Want to get my takes on sports here in the state of Michigan? Well, that's easy. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page, Sports Journalist Duff Tyler. You can also find me on Twitter. I have the handle at DuffTyler. And you can also listen to previous episodes of A Duff Said. Just go to my website, DuffTyler.podbean.com. Now, I wanted to get to know the women of Pure Pro Wrestling, and that's when I met my next guest. She is in training to be one of the female stars of PPW, and she's still trying to figure out what her character will be like. Please welcome in Jessica. Jessica, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. So you are training to be a professional wrestler at a time when women are having just as much of an impact on the sport as men. What do you make of this women's revolution that's going on in sports entertainment?
I mean, I'm all for women empowerment. A lot of people feel that a lot of sports is just like a man-dominant industry, but I mean, sometimes the women are just as good, if not better, than some of the men in their own sports. So.
And certainly you ladies have been flipping the script on that. In fact, at WrestleMania earlier this year, it was the first time ever that women headlined the show. What was it like for you to see that take place?
I mean, it's an awesome experience. I mean, a lot of people have a stereotype of, you know, the roles that should be played. And, you know, like I said, it's very empowering. It's very encouraging because, you know, a lot of people, whether you're male or female, don't pursue a lot of their dreams or their goals because, you know, of all the controversy of like, oh, well, you can't do this because of this reason, or you can't do that because of that reason. So it's really uplifting and encouraging to see somebody that, you know, is trying to defy the odds and to do something that they love and that they are absolutely passionate about.
Now, about a decade or so ago, there was a time when women pro wrestlers were seen more as divas and eye candy. What's it been like for you to see that they've kind of gotten away from that and they're treating them just on the same level as athletes as the men?
I mean, I love it, you know. I mean, it's different, you know, in the aspect of, you know, it's a lot of people do see stuff that way, and a lot of people still do see stuff that way, you know. But I mean, there are some women in this industry that I know without a doubt would have no problem, you know, getting in the ring and squaring up with the men. And it does, you know, like, it's awesome to see that, you know, a woman can get into a ring with a male wrestler and he's not going to treat her, you know, lightly or any more different, you know, because she does. We don't want that, you know. We want to be able to say, no, we did this, we won this, you know, we are doing this. And it's great. It's great to see that it's, you know, finally coming around.
And now here you are working and training your way towards being on the main roster for PPW. But when did the journey start for you? When did you first take an interest in professional wrestling?
Well, I mean, I always grew up being a little bit more on the tomboyish side. And, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, you know, when I was younger, I wanted to play football and, you know, do all of this stuff. And my dad growing up was always one of those, you know, no daughter of mine was ever going to do this. And, you know, like, it was, so I never got the chance to do it. And, you know, we grew up on watching wrestling and, you know, with Goldberg and Ric Flair and, you know, like all of that stuff. And it was something that I'm like, oh my God, I could so see myself doing that. You know, like I would enjoy that. And it was just one of those things. And then it was, you know, just towards the beginning of this year, you know, I had a friend that actually runs the jerky stand, the Twisted Jerky, Ryan, who sells jerky there. And he was like, hey, you want to come help me with this, you know, thing? And I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't have a problem with that. And I got there and then I realized what it was. And then like me and him were just sitting there talking. And I was like, I could seriously see myself doing this. And he was like, you could easily do it. You know, like all you have to do is, you know, sign up, take classes and, you know, you could do it. And I was like, you know what? I really actually think I just might. And that's what happened. I just showed up one day at practice and, you know, have been, you know, practicing and, you know, trying to get into it.
Now, at that time, was there any other passions that you were pursuing, or did you just see this and thought, you know what, this is my time, I'm going to try this?
Well, I'm a mom of five. So, I mean, a lot of my passions and goals and stuff have kind of been set a little bit aside, you know, for being a mom and, you know, doing things for my kids and, you know, adult responsibilities. So, I mean, I felt like this was the time, like this is a good time for me to try to pursue something again for myself, for that, you know, that something that I would enjoy, you know. I mean, a lot of my time is focused on my family and my kids. So it was a nice time to just try to, you know, to see if this could be something that I could, you know, multitask into doing into my normal daily life and routine.
As a mother of five and a father who said, no daughter of mine is ever going to pursue sports, what was it like when you told them that you were going to take this opportunity and see what you could do in pro wrestling?
I mean, I've always kind of been a little bit of the rebel, you know, like if it was, you know, I don't do very well with being told no. You know, and so it was like, you know, I couldn't play football on the men's team, but I joined the Powder Puff team. You know, my dad said that I couldn't join the military, but I enlisted once I was old enough and I didn't have to have his consent, you know. So it's one way or another, like I am a very big goal getter. So if there's something that I want, if I can't get it right away, I'll keep going until I can get to it. you know, it's one of those things. So, you know, even if like right now, like I'm trying to pursue it and it just isn't going to be able to happen right now, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to give up and be like, oh, well, I tried, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm going to keep pursuing. I'm going to keep trying, you know, can't give up yet.
So when you got in the ring for the first time and you started working on it, was it exactly what you thought it would be, or were there some surprises in there, some things you might not have been expecting?
It's definitely, you know, a lot more difficult than it looks. You know, a lot of people assume that, it, you know, anybody could do it, you know, but there's a lot of training that goes into it. There's a lot of, you know, dynamics that play into it. I mean, it's a workout for sure. You know, it's not just like you're going in there and, you know, just beating somebody up. I mean, it looks like that, but I mean, there's so many spots and different ways that you have to train and train yourself and, you know, become accustomed to the way the other people move, you know, it's not as easy as I thought it was, you know? And I mean, I thought that, you know, like, oh, this is going to be so easy. Like, and I mean, there's things that even seasoned, you know, wrestlers, it's a never ending learning experience. You know, you're always learning new stuff. You're always, you know, learning moves and, you know, like it's not just the same things every day, you know? And if you don't keep up with, you know, your fitness and your practice, I mean, it's really easy to fall behind.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced early on?
Early on, was, you know, because of not really knowing how to do this stuff, I am already semi-accident prone. So that was one of the issues that I had faced was, you know, we were trying a move one night in practice and I ended up getting hurt, you know, so then it was like, I already just started and I'm already having to, you know, take time off to recover from an injury that, you know, it's all about learning your body and, you know, other places, you know, the way people move and stuff like that. And it wasn't like, you know, it was a complete accident, but it was just, you know, you're not used to using your body in certain ways that you normally would on a daily basis, you know? So that's probably my biggest struggle right now. And, you know, the way that I got hurt, you know, is it has me a little bit more off-standish to be trying to do that again, you know, because I now have that mentality of like, oh, I got hurt doing this. So now I don't want to try to do it anytime soon because I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt again.
I've seen a number of people think that I can do this sport, it's easy, and then they try it for the first time, and then they're like, wow, that wasn't at all what I expected. I don't know if I've got the mentality for this.
I mean, and that happens a lot, and especially, you know, like with sometimes being a woman in that industry, is everybody, you know, kind of sees us as like the weaker sex or like fragile, and, you know, like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, yes, I got hurt, but I can still go out there and go to practice and, you know, take just as much as the beat up or the workout as, you know, like anybody else. And I mean, I might have to modify a few different things. Like, obviously, like I might not be as strong as the next person, but, you know, like it's about pushing yourself. And that's one of the things that I love about the wrestling community at PPW is it's, you know, nobody really thinks that they're better than the other. And it's more along the lines of like, we are all there for each other. We motivate each other. It doesn't matter if like you're a face or a heel, you know, like we all are there to, you know, help and teach each other tips and tricks and moves. And, you know, like, so it's a really open community when it comes to, you know, this kind of thing.
Sounds like they've opened the doors wide open for you, and I think that's awesome. I don't think people realize just how much of a special relationship that pro wrestlers have with one another, because when people see the show, they see two wrestlers in the ring, and yeah, those guys are trying to tear each other apart, those women are trying to tear each other apart, but in the back, it's all about making sure that everybody's in sync and that everybody's doing things according to plan so that this can be done safely for everybody and that nobody suffers any injuries as a result of what takes place in the ring. That comes from having a special relationship in the locker room What's it like for you to be a part of that community?
I mean, it's awesome. And I mean, and it goes way far, you know, outside of, you know, just practice, you know, or, you know, when we have our shows, you know, like I talk to a lot of the wrestlers, like on a daily basis, like during my normal day, you know, and it's like, you know, if one of the wrestlers or anybody else, you know, within the company or whatever, if they ever, you know, need help with something, it's somebody's always there to have their back, whether it's an ear to talk to, or, you know, if they need help with something, you know, like, you know, we have a junior grappler right now that is in the hospital, and, you know, like it's everybody's rallied up behind them and, you know, helping the family and helping him and, you know, like things like that, you know, where one person, you know, falls weak, it's kind of like a wolf pack, you know, every one person falls weak and everybody's helping that one, you know? So, I mean, it's a community that is just, it's just amazing.
Let's talk about your character. Now, I know it's still a work in progress, but what do you have in mind for Jessica when she finally steps into the ring?
I mean, as far as my character goes, I don't really know yet. I mean, I just want to be, I want to be somebody that is relatable to the fan base, you know, somebody that is, you know, going to be that next inspiration, that next, you know, role model, or, you know, to anybody. I don't even want to say just to one particular person, you know, as long as you can be relatable to somebody on some levels, that's really all that you need. I mean, I would be perfectly fine as just going out there as myself, dressed as myself. Like, I really don't even, you know, really feel like I would need a character, you know? But I mean, as long as you can relate to people, that's all that really matters. You know, everybody has their favorite wrestlers and, you know, they love certain things about certain people. I mean, with wrestling, it's always about, you know, being that person that you want to be.
And I think that's something that pro wrestling gives people that's often overlooked.
Yes, very, very much so. I mean, it's not like, you know, with wrestling, we're not, you know, like a bunch of big bullies and just walk around and just, you know, like that's definitely not, you know, what we stand for. It's more of like an entertainment base, you know, it's more along the lines of, you know, this is something that we, you know, everybody that is in the wrestling community, this is something that we love to do. We love to put that show on. We love to, you know, have that attention, but also to bring light to other things as well. It's, you know, just because we're a wrestler doesn't mean that we're just known for just wrestlers. You know, we do things outside of that, out into the community and, you know, things like that also.
I want to do something fun right now, Jessica, and I hope you're on board with this too. I'm just curious. You're a great interview right now. We're having a great conversation, but if it's time to get on the mic, how would you be on the microphone? I want to pretend for just one second here that I'm standing across from you in the ring, and I just told you, you don't belong in the same ring with me. So how are you going to come back at me?
I mean, actions speak louder than words. That's all I have to say. You know, like, You can say what you want about me all day, but when it comes time to getting into the ring and, you know, putting it down, that's a different story. We have different wrestlers from different backgrounds, different careers. You know, we have some that have disabilities, you know, like it all just depends on the person, you know, where one someone might lack doesn't mean that they can't make it up somewhere else.
Now, wrestlers, Jessica, they are always defined by a couple of main traits, their persona and their finishing maneuver. How are you going to put the other ladies away for the 1-2-3?
I mean, I can't put all my secrets out there just yet. I mean, I'm going to continue to keep practicing and honing my craft. And I guess when I make my debut, everybody will just have to see.
Now I'm really excited to see you in the ring. When can we expect this debut?
I mean, it all just boils down to, you know, my training and, you know, when I actually feel like I would be really comfortable, you know, and have enough, you know, training and practice under my belt to where, you know, I'm not hurting myself or hurting anybody else, you know. So, I mean, right now that's the biggest factor of, you know, being able to debut is just when I feel that I'm ready, and then when my coaches feel that I'm ready. You know, we don't want to throw anybody into a situation where, you know, they're not quite there yet, or they quite haven't learned all the techniques that they should need to know, you know? So, I mean, I don't think it should be too much longer, but, you know, it we'll get there.
Jessica, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to tell everybody about your first match on a Duff's Ed when it finally takes place. Thank you so much for making the time this week on a Duff's Ed with us.
No, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. It means a lot to bring some insight to, you know, the company and the Pure Pro Wrestling.
If this was your first time listening to A Duff's Ed, thank you so much for hitting the play button. Now, how about you go to my website, dufftyler.podbean.com, and check out some of our previous episodes.
I was going into the game thinking, why should we lose? You know, other than the reason that they're beat here, why should we lose? So, to everyone else, you know, yeah, you're underdogs, but to me, and I think to most of the guys on the team, we're probably thinking, we should probably win the game.
This game of basketball, it's just a game. It is really just a game. What we have here is more important.
So to me, relationships are far more important in the world that we live in today, instead of that trophy that's going to be in a trophy case, that's going to collect dust, and it's going to be 50 years old, and you know what? It doesn't matter anymore.
They're all available to you right now at dufftyler.podbean.com. And that's A Duff's Ed. Now, in addition to giving members of the older generation and women a chance to compete in the ring, Pure Pro Wrestling also has a junior grappler program. Now, you've heard it brought up earlier in the show, but what this is, it's a chance for teenagers to see what it's like to be a professional wrestler and actually get to wrestle during the shows for PPW. I am joined now by a participant of that program. His name is Kaneki. Kaneki, thank you so much for making the time. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How are you?
I am awesome. It's good to have you on here. So tell me, how did you find out about the Junior Grapplers program?
It was kind of weird. So as a kid, it was always my dream to kind of be a wrestler, you know? And I used to live in a town about 3 hours from Flint. And see, when I moved up here, my stepmom, she has a friend whose son was a junior grappler, and we had seen, and you know, I just seen it as my chance to finally get in the ring and do what I've always wanted to do. And I went there and I joined the development center and met Joe Bird, who is the owner of PPW, who started the Junior Grapplers. And ever since then, I've just loved it.
You are a lot like me. You were a kid that was big into professional wrestling. For me, it was a night in which my dad took me to a house show on Mother's Day. We actually left mom behind at home, and we went to an arena in my hometown in Indiana. And that night, I got to see Macho Man Randy Savage. I got to see Bret the Hitman Hart. I got to see a lot of guys who are now in the Hall of Fame for the WWE. And that was an amazing experience. I was hooked from then. What was it like for you? Who was it that you saw either at a house show or on the TV that drew you into pro wrestling?
Okay, so when I was a kid, I started watching, and there was, you know, all these, I would always watch old tapes, you know, and I would always get to watch with my grandmother, and I got to see Shawn Michaels, and ever since seeing Shawn Michaels, and I got to see him do the sweet chin music, and just the way he would sell his face and in the way how real it looked, you know, it was always my dream. I've always wanted to get in the ring and do it. And then, you know, as I started watching, and I went to, you know, house shows, you know, Dean Ambrose was a really big inspiration to me. And I've always really liked seeing him. You know, he was, you know, kind of my favorite of my generation.
You know who they are because you relate to them. So it's a special bond, I think, that people have with pro wrestlers. What is it like for you to see your heroes on the television on Monday nights or at house shows, and now you're getting a chance to be just like them?
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. It is actually the greatest feeling ever. You know, it's changed my whole perspective on wrestling. It, you know, being backstage and seeing how it's really done and how everything really goes into it and how much work is really put into this. It's just, it's an amazing art, and I recommend wrestling to everybody. I think pro wrestling is the greatest thing to ever happen to entertainment, in my honest opinion. I think, you know, in my opinion, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to be able to do what I get to see my idols do on TV.
So tell me what your introduction into PPW was like. What was it like that first time when you got to meet the wrestlers and then you got to train with them?
So my very first PPW show, I'm going to give a quick shout out to one of the PPW guys named Samson Real. So one of my favorite, he's honestly one of the top guys. He's one of my favorites at PPW. Ever since my first show, it was in Holland, Michigan. So I was helping out. It was before I got to wrestle, and I was in the back, and at first, you know, he was talking to me, and we got to know each other a little bit, but throughout the night, it just seemed like we were getting closer and closer, and by the end of that night, I looked up to him so much, and he ended up coming to training and helping me out with some stuff, and it was a huge thing for me.
You know, I got to meet Samson recently at one of the shows you guys did in Flint, and my first impression was he walked up, he was wearing the black leather jacket, he had the pink and black on, and he had the slick, long black hair. I said, dude, you are a spitting image of my favorite wrestler, Bret the Hitman Hart. And he said, you know what?
That's right. I see that.
How can you not? The dude looks like him in a lot of many ways. And
yes, he does.
It's amazing how over with the crowd he is right now.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean, especially in Flint, you know, he's not lying when he says that him and his tag partner, Tay, you know, they're the Flint Town Beatdown Boys. And they don't lie when they say that. And he is the real deal. You know, that's all I can say about him. He doesn't lie. He goes out there and he puts on a show.
Now, for you personally, what was your training like to be a professional wrestler?
Training, it's really hard. It's something that you got to really put your mind to and be devoted to and really have the passion for, in my opinion. Pro wrestling is not easy. It is very fun, but it is a lot of hard work behind it. There's a lot of pain. You know, these slams, you know, it takes wears and tears, but my favorite thing of the week is being able to go to the development center in Flint and be able to go train with Joe Bird and Nick Zero and all of my coaches.
We all see this on television and we think, how cool would it be to be a part of this, to do what they do? And then you try it out for the first time, and then you find out, oh my gosh, this is not at all what I expected, because you're doing a lot of cardio fitness, you're taking the bumps, you're hitting the mat. What were some of those early experiences like for you?
I remember, you know, I used to get really winded very easily, and, you know, I still do, but it really does build a lot of cardio, like you say. You know, it's a lot, but... Man, I remember my first day of bumping, like you say, like taking slams on the mat, and that's actually, you know, one of the hardest things in pro wrestling, you know, taking those bumps, man, they wear and tear at your back, and, you know, as kids, you know, it is hard, and Joe Burden, he's a great coach, Xavier Justice, he's a great coach who, he limits his kids on bumping, because... When he wants you to bump, you know, you really should save it. And I think Xavier Justice, out of anybody, in my opinion, he's one of the greatest coaches in pro wrestling ever, in my honest opinion. And in Michigan, you know, he gets a lot of hate, but, you know, they don't really see what really goes on at the development center. And he really cares about every single one of the wrestlers who walk into that building, and he will protect you, and he teaches you the art of pro wrestling the way the art of pro wrestling should be taught.
Right now, I am talking to a 15-year-old who is doing all of the stuff that the grown-ups are doing in professional wrestling. Take me through what it's like to just be a teenager and you're already getting that training.
To be my age, wrestling grown adults, you know, may not know this, but I am the youngest in Michigan to wrestle adults. You know, we have a junior grappler program who is everybody from the age of 7 to 18. That is the junior grapplers. But I think it is, I find the most pleasure being able to work with these adults, and I learn so much from each and every single one of them, and I look at this as a head start, and the way I see it, I think this is just a start of a career for me, and I think one day I will be on the TV for all of you guys to see, but as of right now, I've got to focus on me now and getting better in the ring and keep learning, because I feel like you will never stop learning in this business.
My man, I cannot wait to see you on TV. I'm looking forward to that day, but you're still in high school, so you still got to enjoy that part of your life as well. When you're going through the hallways and there are people at Clio High School that know that you're a professional wrestler, what's their reaction to that?
Well, I tend to try to keep it, my high school and my wrestling, separate. You know, there's a lot of people who will judge it and, you know, say it's fake and shame at it. But the people who do know, they think it is honestly really cool, and they're rooting for me. And I love that. It's the best feeling to know that people your age, people at your school, can't wait to see you do something big.
I want to talk now about your character in the ring. First, how did you come up with your name?
Oh, Kaneki. Okay. So Kaneki isn't really, you know, original, if I'm going to be honest. So I'm a bit of an anime fan. And so my favorite anime is an anime called Tokyo Ghoul. And it's Japanese. And Kaneki, I took that name from that anime, but it's my favorite anime character, and I brought him down to me, and I think it's my favorite, but I feel like I know one day that's going to have to change, but I'm going to soak in that name for as long as I can.
Hey, live in the moment. Enjoy it while it's there.
That's right.
Now, tell me a little bit about your character itself. What are you like in the ring? What can we expect to see when the announcer says your name and you go into the ring for the first time and you're trying to get over with the fans?
All right, so Kaneki, he's a little wild. He's very crazy in the head. Kaneki, he's half Japanese, half American. That's who Kaneki is. When he gets to the ring, you know, he has a demon inside of him. And the background story of Kaneki, see, when he was a child, there's a demon inside of Kaneki. And he goes to all of these doctors, and all these doctors prescribe these pills. But none of these pills will work because of the fact of it is not medical. It's an actual demon. See, Kaneki, there's two personalities inside of him. There's the demon and there's Kaneki. But Kaneki, he's a bit cocky. He thinks he's a badass. You know, he likes to go in there and, you know, show off what he can do. And when he does something, he'll look at you and flaunt it off to you. He's cocky, but in a good way. He's a good guy who just knows that he's good.
You have put a lot into this. You have given this a lot of thought. How many nights did you sit up thinking all this up?
Man, every night I come up with something new and I add into my character. Every night.
Tell me a little bit about that. I want to know what Kaneki is like when he's on the mic, because I love to hear the promos.
Oh.
Let's say I'm your opponent right now, and I just said something really mean to you. I said, you're not at my level, and you don't belong in the same ring as me. How does Kaneki respond to that?
See, Kaneki,
Kaneki would end up grabbing the mic out of your hand, shoving you away and say, listen here. And he says, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how long you've been in this business. But all he cares about is earning respect from every single one of the people in the crowd, everybody in the back. And he will show you how to respect him. And all he cares about is getting in the ring with you and putting your money where your mouth is.
Now, was pro wrestling something that was always your passion and interest, or were there other sports that you wanted to try?
Yeah, I mean, I've always played soccer and, you know, basketball, but wrestling was always, you know, what I wanted to do. And it was always my plan, you know, as a kid. So I'll tell you a story about when I was really young. You know, my sister's older than me. She's already graduated and she's living on her own. But when I was young and she was a little bit older than me, my dad had made me and her a promise that when we turn 16, what do you want? Choose anything you want. And when you turn 16, if you can keep your grades an A average, that he will get this for us. Well, my sister wanted a car. And my dad said, all right. And me as a kid, you know, who didn't know what they want, I always wanted to wrestle in a ring. And even at that age, I would research online all of these training centers around me and try to find one which is close. But I could never find one close enough to, you know, actually go to. And I'd have to wait till I'm 16, and that's all I've been waiting for. And then I had moved, and when I moved, it was right there, and it was right in front of me, and if I'm going to be honest with you, it just feels like it was meant to be, in the fact of, you know, I finally moved, and it's right there in my hands, and I'm able to do it even younger than 16.
You got there before you even reached the age limit. You are already living your dream. What does that mean to you?
And that means everything. You know, every night that I get to go wrestle a match, you know, I'm grateful for every minute that I'm allowed to be in that ring to do what I love to do. I'm very grateful for whoever I'm going against for allowing me to do what I love to do with them and helping me and showing me everything on the way.
So what has wrestling in the junior grapplers done for you besides giving you that chance to get into the ring?
So junior grapplers is way more than just wrestling. So Xavier Justice, he cares about every single one of us, and he loves every single one of us, and he cares about how we're doing in grades. See, we have a junior grappler named Riley Townsend, and he's in the hospital right now. No matter how the coach Xavier Justice is, he always finds a way, and he goes and visits Riley Townsend. See, this is not just wrestling. This builds a family. This builds friends. A lot of the juniors, you know, it's hard for friends outside, you know, at school and everything. And this is an escape for a lot of people. And I think how wrestling is so much more than just getting in the ring and putting on a show, and how everybody comes together and, you know, takes care of each other and wants to work with each other and keep each other safe and becomes a family. It's beautiful.
I hope that we get to see Kaneki on TV someday. Like you said, you may have to change that up a little bit, but I hope you take it all the way, man. Thank you so much for making the time this week.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I appreciate all of those words, man, and thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
It is my pleasure. Kaneki, everybody, we're going to be seeing him someday on Monday Night Raw.
I hope so, man. Thank you so much.
Big words, I know, but you've already made your dream come true before you were even told that this is what you were going to do at that particular age. I have no doubt that you're going to get there.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot, dude. Not a lot of people will say that, and you're one of them.
If you would like to know more about Pure Pro Wrestling, or maybe even check out one of their shows, you can find that info at their website, pureprowrestling.net. That's going to wrap it up for episode 15 of A Duff Said. Here's what we got on tap for episode 16.
They tried to ice me, like they like called a timeout right before I was going to kick an extra point, and I wasn't nervous from being iced because I didn't really know what was going on. So we like gathered up for our timeout, and they're like, Olivia, like, you got this, you got this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, of course I can do this. Like, yeah, this is totally fine.
Olivia Viney didn't know a whole lot about high school football when she joined the Marine City football team 7 years ago. She also didn't know that she was on her way to making history. She became the first girl to play in an MHSAA state championship football game, and she also put points on the board. You'll hear her amazing story next week on episode 16 of A Duff Said. Until then, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true. Because that's what A Duff Said.